Well, listen up, West Coast. It's time for the only man wandering the frontiers of sales techniques and technologies. It's time for the one and only Pilgrim on the 405 with professional sales trainer Will Crist.
Well, welcome. Welcome to Pilgrim Talks on this sunny afternoon in Laguna Beach. Boy, lots of stuff going on that would distract people mightily all across the world. Lots of things to pull our attention. And our prayers are with all the folks in Japan and all the people who are concerned about that. That's a tough, tough place to be. Well, and we also want to talk a little bit about what we've been noticing up and down the 405. This morning in a training meeting, we had 7, 10, 8 CEOs sitting around the table talking about what they were seeing coming on. Let's see how you match up. If you were to answer the question, where are we now? Sliding back down the slope, stabilizing, upward trend, knocking the ball out of the park, what would you say? Well, a consensus in the room was that we were more than stable, that things were beginning to pick up. People had had, I think 3 or 4 people in the room had had great Januaries, good Februaries, and they were looking forward to an equally good March. So maybe we are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. We'll see what happens with the world and how that treats us and what that's going to mean. But along the way, what we are going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking to a CEO of a company that was involved, still is involved in the construction industry. A lot of his business comes from that new construction. And we're going to hear from Carrie Treff. But before we do that, we are going to have a word from our sponsor, Sandler Training.
We're here on the 18th green with Woody Austin. He's got a 35-foot putt for birdie and the win. The putt is online, and it's in. What does it take to perform when the pressure's on? Ask PGA Tour golfer Woody Austin. He'll tell you it takes hard work and ongoing coaching and support from people who are determined to help you excel. The same is true with sales. That's why at Sandler Training, we bring you the reinforcement you need to take on any sales challenge. You won't fail because we won't let you. Sandler Training, proud supporters of PGA Tour golfer Woody Austin and thousands of exceptional sales performers around the world. Finding power in reinforcement.
And so we are privileged to have today a fellow who is well known throughout Southern California, a wonderful guy, been a good friend for several years now, Carrie Treff, president of Keystone Pacific. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Will. How are you doing?
Good. Tell the people a little bit about what Keystone does. I just find it's just fascinating.
Well, we are an association, a homeowner association management company. We've been around for 29 years. We manage a number of properties throughout Orange County and Riverside. We work with we specialize in working with builders to bring product out of the ground and help them transition new homes into homeowners associations. And we're pretty good at it. So we manage about 45,000 units within the associations right now, and we have maybe 220.
What'd you say? How many was that?
45,000.
45,000. Is that a little or a lot?
Oh, we're one of the larger companies in Southern. We're one of the larger companies in the industry. There's some that are bigger than us, some that are smaller, but we're probably in the top 10% of the companies that do this in the nation.
Wow. Okay, so I interrupted you. Go ahead.
So, I mean, we work with, we have a couple sides of our business. I mean, we work with builders bringing the product out of the ground. We're there to help them on the first unit that's turned over that they sell, and we're there all the way through the end of, and then we keep the association management and continue to manage all of the facilities, depending on what it is. You know, I mean, it could be as simple as just managing the landscape in the community and collecting the homeowners association dues and helping them run their meetings every month. The homeowners associations are really run by a volunteer elected board of directors. It's someone, people that live in the community. It could be complex. We have a community that has gates and clubhouses and swimming pools, and you know, we're managing all of those, overseeing all those facilities, as well as when you have gates, we're overseeing the maintenance on streets and curbs and gutters, all the things that a city might do if it isn't behind gates. So we help them to manage the financial affairs of their community. They're in an association, you're setting aside reserves to replace components in some future time, and they spread those costs out over the life of the asset. So we're helping them to manage those things and to figure out how much they need to set aside each month.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you guys must have been going gangbusters up until a little while ago, right?
Well, a little while ago is getting a little longer. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it really, the bubble burst for us probably around in the 2006. I mean, kind of the height was 2005. 2006, things started slowing down, and by 2007, it was dead as far as new development projects. And so, yeah, we had more business than we could do. It was nice. And then 2007, things came to a screeching halt on the development of new homes with the whole bubble that burst in residential, all real estate for that matter. But so things have slowed. They're starting to pick up again. We're encouraged. Orange County, actually, the Irvine Ranch. We work with the Irvine Company, and that ranch has just been setting some records across the nation in terms of sales right now. They've been doing extremely well, and we're starting to see some other projects that are coming on board especially in Orange County. We're not seeing as much in Riverside County. That market's a little slower to recover. But
now
there's
a new development here on Laguna Canyon Road.
Yeah, you're talking about Laguna Altura.
Yes, yes.
In fact,
is that one of yours?
We will be managing that project for the Irvine Company. It's about 600 units. It's going to be a gated community, all behind all single family homes in there. There isn't any attached product, and I believe they're going to be delivering some units this summer out there. Wow. Their models are going up now. You can see them building there. It's going very fast out there.
Yeah. What do you see going? What do you see happening across the rest of Orange County?
Well, I mean, we're seeing, you know, a lot of builders have gone to infill projects where you may have an industrial building or some product. It's something that's on a site now that doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of infill projects that are happening now. And then in northern part of the county, up in Brea, there's a big master plan development that's being brought on by Standard Pacific. And Shea Homes is doing a project up there. So they had a grand opening recently, and they had 3,000 or 4,000 people out there on the first day. So they were very encouraged by that. So I think there's a pent-up demand for housing. People are still afraid of housing with the foreclosure market, but a lot of with the loss of jobs, people have combined households. So you got, you know, kids living with their parents or parents living with their kids, and I think people are anxious to get out and get back into a home of their own again, but they need to have some confidence in the job market, and we're starting to see some job improvement, but you know, new home sales are directly tied to people's confidence in the job market and how many people are working.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, so let's talk a little bit about how you led Keystone Pacific over the past couple of years. I mean, what have you done to increase your sales?
That's been a challenge.
Yeah.
It's always a challenge. I mean, increasing sales is always a challenge. You know, there's a couple parts to our business. You know, I mentioned new development. And in new development, we've been in business since 1982. So we've developed relationships over the years. And, you know, with the downturn in new home development, a lot of those relationships have kind of gone by the wayside. The home builders have reduced their staff down to just skeletal crews. So, I mean, we've stayed close to all of those companies and helped them wherever we can. and try to train the newer people that are coming on how the homeowner association business works, and we try to do as much of their work as we can in terms of transition things for them. So, but you know, we're involved in all the industry functions and support home builders, but that business is relationships. So as that business starts coming back, we will have our share because we have good relationships with people, and we really are an expert in the transition of new home projects, where a lot of my competitors don't, they're not good at doing new home transitions or new development. That's where we excel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, then we have a part of our business that's tied to existing associations where the homeowner board of directors or homeowners become dissatisfied with their existing management company, and we have a pretty constant flow of calls that come in, and we weren't very good at taking advantage of those, but with the downturn in the new development market, we really focused our efforts in that area and put a system in, a very good system in place to handle those calls efficiently, to respond very quickly to those calls, and to put a proposal in front of people quickly and one that looks professional.
Mm-hmm.
I see some of my low-cost competitors, and some of their proposals don't look as good. It's important to me that whenever anybody sees something from us, it looks professional. We've established ourselves as a higher-end company. I won't bid stuff really cheap. I know what it costs to do a good job for us, and if we can't provide a service that I'm proud of, we won't do it cheap just to get the job. We won't buy business. But we've been successful lately because people are kind of getting disenchanted with a low level of service, and they're looking to us for that higher level. That's one thing we always sell. And
mm-hmm.
we've added substantial projects the last couple of years, and we've gotten much better at selling to existing associations with the whole system that we put in place, some things that I learned from you over the years.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about the system.
You know, I mean, the call comes in, we're talking to people, we're recording, we're really looking to find out what's their pain, why are they looking to make a move, and are we the right fit for them, and what kind of solution can we provide? But we're really drilling down with them to find out why are they wanting to make a move. We really want to get out to meet them before we give them a proposal and walk the property. That's something that we do that most companies don't do. We want to try to establish a relationship when we're out walking and really see what the problems are and make sure that we're a good fit for them. And if we're not, we're telling them we're not a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that they're serious about what they're doing. We're looking for the ones that aren't just out collecting information, that they're serious about making a move. So we kind of weed out the ones that aren't serious and focus our efforts on the ones that are serious about making a move.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, how do you weed these people out? What sort of things do you do? I mean, they want you to come out and give a proposal. They want you to give them all the information, don't they?
They do. They do want a proposal. I mean, we can put them together, but weeding them out is talking to them, is mm-hmm. finding out, are they real? What is their pain? I mean, if you got people that don't really have pain, that if there isn't things that are problems for them, that they're just out kind of shopping, they don't sound serious, we dig down more. We want to know that they're serious about us. How'd they hear about us? I mean, if it's a warm lead, that it's a lot of our business is referrals from other associations that are happy with our service, or it may be someone that owns a home in one community and they've moved to another community and the service isn't good there, they're coming to us. If it's a warm lead, we know that there's a good chance we're going to succeed in our proposal process with them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is talking to them and getting a gut feel and really finding out how serious they are about making a switch, and that making sure that they're really looking for a solution that's going to get their service level where they want it, because most of them are coming from maybe a lower cost provider that isn't mm-hmm. providing a service level that they're happy with. But sometimes they're not ready to pay the price it takes to get to a little higher level. So if we're kind of uncovering their budget early to figure out, are they willing to pay our prices? And if, you know, so we're uncovering that, that we want to know the budget early in the game. If they're not willing to pay it, we're wasting everybody's time.
Okay. Now, it sounds to me like you're willing to take a no, and you're also willing to give a no to somebody. Does that ever happen?
All the time. You know, you know, that's something I learned from you. You know, I mean, we don't want to spend, we don't want to spend a lot of time on proposals that isn't a fit. You know, we try to weed out the ones that were just not a fit. If the, if they're not willing to pay for it, if they're not serious about going with a higher level of service, we're happy to refer them to other companies and to make sure someone's going to provide the service, but it won't be us. Yes, we do look for the no's. We're not looking for the, well, we'll think about it, and or the people that are just looking for a whole bunch of free advice. And not willing to really make a move. They're just looking for how you do things better and maybe how they can get their management company to do things better. That's, well, I mean, we're willing to give them some advice, but it's got to stop at some point.
Right, right. Limit the number, the amount of free consulting that you do, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you tell them up front that you're gonna, that your sales process is a little different from what they may be expecting?
Do we tell them up front? We do, in the sense that we'll tell them up front that, you know, if you're not a fit for us, is it okay if we tell you that? You know, we're asking for permission to tell them that, but most people are certainly tell you, give you an answer right away that is, oh, sure, if you don't think you're a fit, we would want to know that. But I don't think most people are telling them that. I think most people are just chasing opportunities, or what they view as opportunities that aren't, half the time aren't real opportunities, but they can get it in their queue as somebody that they're working on to close.
You're talking about your competitors.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And so what you've done is you've saved a lot of time and a lot of, you probably write fewer proposals these days, right?
It's interesting. We seem to be writing more, but they're all quality proposals. You know, as we've gotten better, at this whole process of qualifying people. We're actually, in today's world, we're actually writing more proposals, but they're ones that we've qualified, and they're ones that we think there's a real opportunity for us to close that contract. And we're just doing more because our system is just working. We're responding to people quicker. We're getting more opportunities than we used to get. We were a little slow before. I discovered something last year that one thing I always wanted was we have these things called covenants, codes, and restrictions. It's the rules of the association. And they're recorded documents, and I always wanted to get those documents before we'd make a proposal, and we'd ask the people for them, and no one else ever asked for those. And that was really slowing us down, waiting for that, and we weren't responding as quickly as we should. And I found another source to get those quicker. I mean, I just get them from the title company, but so then we can respond very fast to inquiries that we weren't doing before. And as a result of responding so quickly, we're getting a lot more opportunities.
Oh, okay. So those are public record, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Ah, okay. Yes. So you found a way to reduce the time in motion. You didn't have to wait for somebody else to give you those covenants. You were able to find them a different way. And
yes, and
that's
interesting. You know, people that would call us and say, you know, I'm on the board of directors. We're looking for new management. Would you be interested? And we're saying yes. Can you send us a copy of your document? And they'd say yes, but the reality is sometimes they didn't send it. It'd take a long time, and that deal would kind of just sit and mull. And it wouldn't go anywhere. So by eliminating that step, I'm amazed at the amount of opportunities we've had as a result of eliminating that simple step.
Wow. All right. So now, in this time of, difficulty, what have you done to reduce your costs, your expenses?
Yeah. You know, I have a chief financial officer who is cheap. Really cheap. He's very cheap. And I mean, sometimes I feel like I have to negotiate with him to spend money, and I'm the CEO. But he's good for me because I'm willing to spend money on marketing and try lots of new stuff. He makes me think about, do we really want to? Is that really a wise way to use the limited amount of capital we have? So, I mean, we've run a lean ship for a long time with him on board. He's been around since before I came here. And so everybody's conditioned here to really think about expenses before they submit. But our management fees don't substantially increase from year to year. So we're constantly forced to do more with less people, and technology is really helping us in that way. That we're pushing a lot of things through the internet these days. Where this industry is pretty paper intensive, where we send out paper bills, we provide packages for the association meetings, which is hundreds of pages of paper, and we're kind of pushing that onto to deliver it through the internet now, as opposed to in the paper form. We're going to iPads, where people can look at those board packages, hundreds of pages on an iPad, as opposed to looking at it on paper.
Really?
That saves money.
So tell me about the iPad. I got to tell you, I waited till the iPad 2 came out, and I've been down to the Apple Store twice, and both times they've sold out. So it's 4 weeks online. I'm waiting for it. So get me excited about this. Tell me how you're using it.
Well, it's a newer program for us, where we're pushing out. A typical board of directors has five members on it. So we will load up iPad. We'll load it up with the board of directors package. This is a new program. We're just starting to roll this out. So we're loading them up with all the board packages, so when you get there, you can open it up, and it's like reading a book. I mean, where you flip through pages now, paper pages, well, on an iPad, you run your finger across the screen, and it turns a page. So I don't know if you've ever read a book on a Kindle, or you don't have an iPad yet, but you just run your finger across it, and it turns the page. So it's a slick deal to have. You can't write notes on it like you could on a piece of paper, but it's certainly a cheaper way to provide the information, and certainly much greener. I mean, I can't imagine how many forests we've killed over the years with the amount of paper we use. Because we were running, I don't know the numbers yet, but we've been running about 600,000 copies a month.
And a month?
A month.
A month?
Oh, the copy companies love me, you know. I mean, 600,000 pieces of paper we put out a month. And our goal is to get that down to half here in the next few years to reduce that. And eventually we'd love to eliminate paper altogether. It's tough to do in our industry, but we think we can reduce paper a lot, and that's a lot cheaper. I mean, it costs us, you know, so much per page to print these things, and in maintenance costs on the copy machines. And I can't tell you the number of copy. We have a bunch of copy machines. So we're excited about the iPad. I didn't think that was going to be, I didn't really look at that as a technology for business, but more and more people are using them in business today than we envisioned a year ago.
Yeah.
Apple has been amazing with kind of changing things.
Yeah.
One of the other things we're doing is, you know, delivering, the internet's allowing us to deliver, you know, your monthly homeowner assessment invoice. We can deliver those by email now. We can deliver newsletters about the community, what's going on there. We're maintaining websites on all the communities. We encourage them to have a website where homeowners can get on there to make reservations for rooms and look up news within the industry, where all of that used to be paper. So, I mean, send out paper, it costs postage. So we love the internet. We're pushing as much as we can onto it. We think it's changing our business a ton.
Wow. Wow. All right. Okay. All right. So now, what I'm hearing is that I've heard of people using the iPad to in their sales process, because they have all the material right there for them. They can it's a display for folks. And I've got one client who closes a lot of deals, you know, on the first call, and he's got a way worked out where you can sign it right there on the iPad, and it's done. And you get a copy emailed to you immediately. But what I'm hearing you say is you're using it to reduce your costs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
We've tried to, we've talked about doing it in a sales presentation. It's not, since we're presenting to a board, the iPad is a little bit small to do a presentation like that. Because five people can't sit close enough to it to do that. And we find that it's more successful for us to just go and talk. We don't have when we're sitting down with people, we don't have something that everybody's going to flip through and we're going to take them through this standard presentation. We react to what are their problems and how are we going to solve them. We don't stick with some standard presentation. And it takes knowledgeable people to do that and be able to handle those questions, but we think a standard presentation is not a good use of our time or the board's.
That's a good learning. That's a good learning. That's great. So tell me now, what have you done to differentiate yourself from competition?
Well, I mean, I mentioned a little bit about the fact that we are the higher quality, higher service, higher quality provider. I mean, our industry has a lot of small companies, and they all seem to come at us or compete on price. And they bid low. They bid a low price. They end up, they're newer, smaller companies that they're learning that you have to hold your price or you can't continue to provide a quality product. And it's a lesson we've learned over the years that we're not afraid to put our number out there. We know what it costs to provide a higher level of service. In our business, you have a property manager has a portfolio of properties. Typically, they may have four or five, six projects. And by charging a little bit extra fees, we can allocate less projects to our managers so that they can provide a higher level of service. That's something we sell, that, you know, our managers have less account load. We're intense on our training. Training is just, I have a person on staff that's in charge. All she does is train people. And we're trying to get our people up to speed quickly and enhance their learning all the time. There's a couple association programs, national associations in our industry that provide education, and we send our people to all of those. We train our customers. We offer trainings for how to run a board meeting and how to be a homeowner volunteer to run these boards, because a lot of these people come in, they don't understand that a homeowner association is a corporation that you run board meetings and you make decisions like they do in big corporations, but it's on a smaller level, and there's a process and procedures to do that. So we train our customers how to do that, and our customers appreciate the opportunity to come to these trainings. It's free. They're in the evening, and I think it's important to offer that training to your customers. But, you know, overall, it's just we're higher quality of service, and I mentioned that we're an expert in transitioning new development projects. That is a big differentiation with us and the majority of the companies that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main things that we do to differentiate ourselves.
Well, here comes a tough question. What have you done to increase your shareholder value?
Everything I just said. You know, I mean, the reality is shareholder value is driven off of, in my mind, the value of the company is driven off cash flow. I mean, the brand is important. Our brand, our whole branding of the company and the perception of the company, there's value in that you can't define exactly what it's worth. But the companies in our industry, they're valued based on the bottom line cash flow and a multiple of that cash flow. So increasing revenue and keeping your expenses in line are important. We have a plan that we put in place every year. We stick to our budgets. We watch our budgets and manage the business on those plans. I have a one-year plan and I have a five-year plan. So we're working the one-year plan as we're sitting here now, and then we're always looking in the future as to where we're going how can we increase the value of the company, how can we provide better service. But it, our goal is to increase the bottom line profit. And, you know, that's a, there's a lot of things that go into there. One thing I didn't talk about is investing in our people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're a service company, and we're only as good as our people. And part of our company vision is that our people have to be enthusiastic, that enthusiastic employees provide good service to your customers. They're the ones that talk to your customers. And if you're doing things in your company that aren't in, making them enthusiastic, yeah, we have to, we think about everything we do. I mean, I have a senior staff meeting with our CFO and our gal in the hands of property management, and there's seven of us that are in there that lead this company. And the first thing we talk about in there is our mission statement. It includes a statement that we provide quality service through enthusiastic employees. And so we're always making decisions about things we do here and put it in the perspective of, is this going to help our employees remain enthusiastic about their job?
Mm.
So,
wow. Excellent. Excellent. Now, so what do you see happening next 90, 180, 6 months in Orange County?
Well, I can talk about the real estate business and the development business. I mean, I think we're starting to see some signs of improvement. We're starting to see some job growth here, and it's encouraging to us. That affects our industries. It helps people to buy, to creates a demand for housing. I'm feeling like things are unthawing, I say, because I think the development business was frozen. So it is unthawing. We're starting to see some new projects come out of the ground. Builders are starting things that they weren't doing last year. The financing market is somewhat stabilizing now. We're optimistic. I don't think we're going to see just huge growth, but we're going to see some growth in the county. We're really looking to 2012 as that the home building industry comes back even more than it is today. I mean, it's starting to come back today. We think we're going to reach a normal level. You know, 2005 was not normal. It was so overblown, and we were in the bubble there. But back to a normal level that we've maybe seen an average over the last 20 years, we think we're going to start seeing housing starts get back to a more reasonable level than they have been. So we're optimistic.
When do you see that happening?
2012.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been pushing it out every year. We're like, well, it's going to be next year, or 2 years from now. But we really believe that the signs are in place now. We're seeing signs that we're going to see some stable activity in 2012.
And you've been watching the Mayan calendar just to...
Yeah. About the time we get there, the world's going to end. Huh?
Right. Listen, Kerry, this has been a lot of fun. It's always good to be with you. And I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Maybe, you know, it sounds to me like you've got lots of things that could be really helpful to, you know, developers and financing people and homeowner association members. I mean, you know, this maybe you should do a radio show. It'd be a real differentiator for you. You're the experts.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in radio shows. I'm an expert in this business. Yeah. I'm happy to talk to you. I don't think I want to start my own radio show.
All right, now, if there are people out there who want to talk to you, what would be the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, I mean, they can call me at the office. Mm-hmm. Our phone number here is 949-833-2600.
What's that again?
833-2600, and that's area code 949. Or they can do inquiries on our website, which is keystonepacific.com. We have links on there for inquiries. If people want to get in touch with us, they can send us emails there, or people can send me an email if they'd like, if they want to get in touch with me directly. Mine is ctreff, that's C like in Charlie, T like in Tom, R-E-F-F like in Frank. So ctreff@keystonepacific.com.
Super. Listen, it's really fun. I really appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to getting back together with you soon.
Well, Will, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. I appreciate you and the opportunity you gave me.
Great.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now, before we take on a new little experiment that we're trying here on the show, let's first hear from our friends at Sandler Training.
Time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. You know, many people call on accounts and are extremely anxious to tell them about their products and services. After the sales call, they walk out bewildered why they didn't get an order. I told them every reason why they should buy, but nothing happened. If you're dropping off information, proposals, marketing materials without really understanding your customers' buying motives, you are spilling your candy in the lobby. Once they have your information and pricing, do they really need you anymore? The customer wouldn't shop your information to your competitors, would they? Are you and your salespeople spilling your candy in the lobby? Well, if they are, stop it. Customers are not entitled to your information or demonstration until you understand their buying motives, money, and how they make decisions. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
Does that help?
Do you hear me?
All right. We've got a great opportunity here today. We're going to spend a little time on a brand new Skype program where we can have more than one person in a Skype video conference at once. I think you can have three or four or five, six of them at once. We've got producer Paul Roberts, and we have Jim Obermeyer, the founder, CEO, president, chief cook and bottle washer from the Sales Lead Management Association. And we are going to talk a little bit about what we are seeing in the marketplace today. So, welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much, Will. You can hear me okay?
Oh, right. We can hear you great.
New microphone.
Is that a new microphone, or is that the one that we'd had before?
No, that's the new blue that I got several months ago but didn't get working right.
Oh, you got it working. I've got one sitting here on my desk. I think Paul's doing something. He's asking you to turn something around there.
Yeah, just turn it around like that. I think you're facing the wrong side of it, Jim.
No, I think I'm facing the right side of it.
Because where the two knobs are, that should be where you're talking into. Oh, maybe. Or you should be talking in wherever the mute button is.
Yeah.
Okay. So my mistake.
I got it right.
You got it right. I had it wrong.
You radio got it.
All right. So Jim, tilt your camera a little bit more. We're only seeing the bottom half of your face.
That's probably
there. We go. That. All right. Now
and
this
tilt
is
the
super.
Tilt since we're admitting our flaws here. Tilt the microphone just a little bit back away from you. You've got it tilted towards you. You're talking into the front of it, not the top of it. There.
How's that?
Yep. That's better.
Gosh, you know, I gotta get this mic. I was gonna unplug this mic and open it up and plug it in. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that's if I talk to the top of it, then I'm kind of like Charlie Sheen.
Right? Do you know Charlie
winner,
Sheen?
Winner.
Charlie Sheen used that microphone. He had that exact same microphone in his internet rants. So that's a further endorsement here.
All right. Well, if you're a winner, then I mean,
winner.
Well, we got two sales guys here this afternoon and one marketing guy. So you're outnumbered here.
There you go.
Well, let me ask you, Paul. What's my sound quality relative to Jim's? Any difference? Better? Worse?
It's different. Every time, every microphone's a little bit different. I hear a little bit of. There's a slight break occasionally in your sound because of the headset, whereas you don't get that with Jim. You do pick up a little more of the background noise in Jim's case, like I think the phone rang in his office there or something rang. But so you get a truer sound with Jim that depends on where how loud he wants to turn it and how close he gets to the mic. He can kind of adjust that manually, but. I really like the sound of the Blue Yeti microphone. I'm a big believer
All
in
right.
it.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow I will be on the Blue Yeti. That's
okay.
What we'll do.
Amazon.com.
Okay. No, I've got it. It's sitting on my desk already. It's right there. I just have. You told me that you weren't using it, so I was going to save it and come borrow yours. But you're using it, so I'll open mine up and have it.
I see. Now everybody's got to get one. We're going to have to kickback from the Blue. They make these up in Canoga Park, I think, or something. I actually don't know if they make them there, but that's where the company's headquartered, up in like Canoga Park or something.
Oh, nice. Well, now let's ask something.
Our listeners want to hear what's new out there in managing sales leads.
They don't want to hear about the microphones and how much fun we're having, huh?
We've interviewed about 40 CEOs. Well, you've done about 40 of those CEOs in the last 6 months. Everything from marketing automation, some of the biggest firms, to connect and sell, to all kinds of ways that the internet is being used to help salespeople sell. What do you think has been the most interesting interview you've had?
Well, I don't know about the most interesting interview, but I mean the direction that I see people doing is I see a lot of outsourcing. I see a lot of people recognizing that they don't have to put a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 person in their shop, that they can spend $20,000, $30,000 and get the same kind of productions they could get before from lead generation.
And do you mean outsourcing lead qualification and a lot of the grunt initial calls and follow up on the sales leads, and then passing of the sales ready lead over to the salespeople?
Yes, because most people aren't doing that now at all. So what that means is if a company is going to really do that, that means that they've got to add something to their headcount or to their expenses. And to me, anytime you bring somebody new on, you've got a learning curve, right?
Right.
You got a learning curve. You've got to add that in. On the other hand, I think that learning curve is far shorter if you're working with some professional people who've had experience, a track record in lead generation and qualification.
Well, it's interesting. As you know, Will, I play the interim sales management role for many companies, usually two or three companies a year. I'm starting one in a couple of weeks where the company is embarking on a new product, kind of an extension of what they currently have. They were going to put in place some outside salespeople, and they're going to put these salespeople all around the country, six of them. And I said, well, why don't you put them inside and put them all out here, because they don't have to go out on sales calls. You've just done traditionally this outside sales call thing, and it's not necessary for this new product. It's lower cost. It's self-installed. It's very interesting. And as we talked about that, the lights went on. He said, I could have them all out here, and I could manage them all out here, and I don't have to put them in the office where they're kind of pariahs in the office because they're inside people. And, very many sales managers don't have the ability, if they're managing outside salespeople, they don't do a very good job managing inside salespeople. Well, we went from that to the logical extension, why hire six people, start them all up at the same time, with all of that huge overhead. Let's test this with an outside call service that can make your initial sales calls for you and actually complete everything, because it's a very easy sales call to they don't need a lot of technology. They can make the sales calls, complete the sale. So we're going to do a $30,000 test program with an outside telesales group for 2 months, rather than hire six salespeople at probably $5,000 a piece and all those commitments and training.
Yeah. We do a lot of talking about marketing, testing, right?
I think we're going to have to restate that, because you're at that witching hour. There's some point in the conversation where you still break up a little bit, Will, and you're probably good now here, but...
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Still a little fuzzy there. You were great. I think the question, I'll throw in a question here, which surprises me, having sat on the outside and listened to these shows as they developed. What surprises me really is I didn't know how much stuff was out there for sales organizations to draw upon. I didn't know there were all these sales management, lead generation, lead management programs out there. I didn't know that you could do things virtually like Jim's talking about. I didn't know that you had this software tools available. And I think, am I the only one that doesn't know this is out there? Or are people still ignorant about this?
Oh, no. No, I mean, can you hear me now?
Yep, you sound great now.
All right, so no, I mean, what we've discovered is listening to people is maybe 50% of the Fortune 5,000 companies, Fortune 1,000 companies are using marketing automation, but only 10% of the SMBs.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So at my clients, when I talk to them, I mean, they're way out of the curve. I mean, they're just beginning. And it's a little frightening for them.
Yeah,
so,
I'll bet.
No, you're not. It's not unusual at all.
Well, and I think that because of that, I don't think we've really fully explored what can be done with this technology. Just as we're playing around today with, we're pushing the boundaries again of internet radio and what we're attempting here to get three people on Skype. You know, the listeners are going, what's the big deal? Well, we've just jumped some big technological hurdles here. We've got three people in three different locations, all communicating as one and streaming it to the world. Just as I saw on CNN this past weekend during the Japanese tragedy, here's the greatest networks in the world, Fox, CNN, and all these, and they're using Skype just like we are, or some variation of it. And I think it's amazing.
Well, so literally thousands of people are listening to this radio program this evening.
Oh, well, you never know. And it lives on because it won't just be today's audience. It's people who will stumble across it for months to come, maybe years to come on the web. I don't think we fully understand the power of this medium, nor do we fully understand the tools that you guys are talking about for sales organizations.
Yeah.
Well, we take this connect and sell, this person that Will interviewed a couple weeks ago, where a salesman walks in, sits down, calls up his screen, and loads up, it takes 2 minutes, loads up his call list, sends it over to Connect and Sell, and sits there and says, I'm ready.
Yeah, right.
And the Connect and Sell people start dialing.
Yeah, for
and
him.
Within a few seconds, the phone connects, and the end user never hears the person from Connect and Sell who's connected. It instantly goes to the salesperson.
And they had some money.
So instead of getting two to three connections per hour, they're getting six and seven.
Exactly. They're getting more productivity out of the time. You were going to say something, Will?
Yeah. Oh, I've got a client who I introduced, this whole idea of outsourcing lead generation and qualification. He's doing that. And, you know, he gets a little frightened now and then about the money that he's putting out. And have to go back and take a look at what he would have been doing otherwise and help stay on track, because sometimes you get frightened. But he's using Connect and Sell. And he reported today to our management program. He said, here's my experience. He said, we give them 200 names. They start calling them. And he said, you get 10 calls, and eight of them are, let's see, what did he say? What was his numbers? You get 10 people, and they're not always decision makers. They might be the wrong people, in which case they would shunt you. He said, but you wind up with two appointments at the end. And he said, one interesting thing we found out was that when the salespeople were there, and here they are live, you know, they record a little bit. Hi, this is Will Crist. They record a little bit beforehand, so they got time for that transition, and then they're on with that person. He said it was so interesting because people did not know what to do next, which was sort of like he took
the
away.
People didn't.
They
the
did
salespeople
not know.
Didn't know what to,
right. They did not know what to say next. And what he discovered with his people was that this I can't get people on the phone was really an excuse.
Mm,
there you go. They didn't have their scripting ready, did they?
That's correct.
They did not have their script.
That's correct. And so now he's coaching them to help, because now he knows one of the things. And now just think, if you didn't have your scripting ready, how would that affect the number of calls that you were willing to make?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why they spent all the time entering all the information in the CRM system about the calls they couldn't make.
Correct.
Well,
correct.
You bring up an interesting point, and that is, are we prepared to be that much more productive? You know, once upon a time, they could pace themselves and make two calls in an hour and thought, boy, I'm doing good work here. All of a sudden, you've given them the technological ability to do more than that, but the human being may not be ready for that productivity leap. They may not be ready to engage that many more people.
Well, it may be they don't have a system.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a system for doing that, which is part of what training is about, is to help them develop a system to meet up with the technology. Go ahead, Jim.
Now, this client that you've got, this is Connect and Sell is $250 an hour,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty expensive. You get sticker shock when you first hear it. And then you realize that I got connected to 10 people,
mm-hmm.
8 to 10 people in that hour, and I either scoop them into the prospect list or it deleted them or made an appointment to call them back. And you say, well, you just got three times the productivity of an average salesperson, and that's worth something. I kept thinking if his cost was a little lower, he would probably have more business than he can handle.
Yeah, I mean, it really does have to do when I talk to him. I mean, some of that has to do with just his hard costs for having people there to run the system for him. But, I mean, the whole point is the technology is changing the way that we work. Let's talk about another one. We're going to be talking with Jim Banks next week. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago on the Pilgrim Show. But next week we're going to talk to Jim Banks, app that goes on top of Salesforce that literally helps people to double or triple the number of calls they make because of the technology. They have the call script right there in front of you, have the voicemail right there in front of you to read off, and then when you finish that, one click and an email is going out to the person you just spoke, you know, you just left the voicemail for. I mean, now, when you begin to think about that, that changes the whole way that somebody is approaching their prospects, doesn't it?
I would think so. Yep. It certainly makes it more rapid, and that's what I'm wondering. You know, are people prepared? It's like strapping yourself into a rocket ship. You know, you're not going to talk to two people. You're going to talk to 10 people here. You're going to react much quicker. Are we prepared to make that, to be that alert, to be that engaged, to be that on? Or is it something that we're going to have to train these people somehow to take advantage of that technology?
Oh, well, I think it's obvious we've got to train them. I mean, it's not something you just drop the technology in and expect that the sales manager or the CEO or the salesperson themselves are going to be able to handle it. No, I think there's obviously there's got to be a lot of training into it.
I'll give you an interesting analogy. I was in the film business many years ago, and I was a press agent. And one of the things that we learn, I took some classes in film and stuff because I wanted to know more about it before I started in this thing. When film started, an average movie might have 40, 50 edits in the entire film. It was filmed like a stage play, so they set the camera up in one spot and the actors walked around in front of the camera. Then they started saying, well, why don't we break it so that we'll have a close-up of Jim and a close-up of Will and a close-up of Paul, and we'll start switching. We'll edit between those different shots. There's suddenly three edits in a conversation. And we got to a point where now there's 400, 500 edits in a 30-second commercial. It moves so quick. And in some ways, it moves too quick for me. I'm in my mid-50s. You know, my daughter looks at it like a video game. She can absorb all the information, but it starts to flick by so fast, I can't adapt to it any more than I can watch an old silent movie because it feels like it drags on forever. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. So here you're putting salespeople into this situation where they're going to suddenly have a lot more edits, a lot more shifts, a lot more go from one conversation to the next here. You know, I think there's almost a mental leap that they've got to make to be prepared to use it, not just a technological leap of how the technology works, but to prepare themselves to be that engaged. You're going to have a rapid-fire hour here on the phone. Am I hallucinating, or is there any truth to that?
No, I think there's truth. It's interesting the amount of information that's instantly becoming available to sales reps, and I've been privy to a new program out there called Nimble, which gathers together all the social media information available and puts it on one program and then stuffs it into a CRM program, and I know there are some other people that Will's talking to that we're going to have on the program in the next few weeks that are doing the same thing. So what does all this mean? The sales rep, let's say the sales rep is looking at Salesforce, and over on the side has this little app that says Facebook, LinkedIn, tweets, any of the a blog, and the salesperson is talking to Jim Obermeyer from SLMA, and as he's talking to me, he hits LinkedIn. And my entire profile comes up on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And he says, the blog. And he looks and says, I see you just did a blog on such and such recently.
It's almost like somebody's whispering in your ear. When I used to go to the Tonight Show as a press agent, they used to literally have, not all the time, but sometimes they would have joke writers literally standing just off the couch and whispering one-liners to people to make them look good. You know, it's almost like the same thing. You've got somebody whispering in your ear here telling you, hey, ask him this, talk about this, look what he does, look what he's just been. You've got an incredible amount of data there. But can you absorb this and build this into your conversation, or do you need to be trained how to do that?
You've got to be trained.
Now, Jim,
you're the trainer.
Yeah, and absolutely we're doing that. But right now, Insight 2, Jim Banks's thing from Shade 2 Technology, he's got that set up on my computer with a link to LinkedIn, a link to Facebook, a link to Zoom.com, a link to Gist. It's all right there.
I thought he was introducing that in another month.
No,
Will's got the first shot here.
Boy, you let the cat out of the bag.
I'll tell you what else is going on is very interesting. Another interesting thing that I found was, we've talked to Eloqua and Marketo and Makesbridge and lots of different marketing automation. A fellow up in Colorado that we interviewed, him a couple of weeks ago from, what's the name of it?
On SLMA?
Yeah. Yeah, from Colorado, and it's...
I remember the interview, but I'm sorry to say I don't remember the name of the company.
Oh, it was something with a dash, and it'll come up. But I tell you, I am fascinated, and I've talked to him. I'm using beginning to use his marketing automation because it is so process-oriented, and it's very simple to understand. It's totally integrated with Salesforce. And what's interesting is, as I come up with ideas, he's implementing them.
Oh, wow. He's adapting your suggestions into the system here?
That's right. I said last week I talked to their customer service person. I said, well, listen, I need to be able to integrate this marketing automation. I need to be able to make a list, what they call a segment, pull this segment out from the campaigns that I have. And he said, okay. And I said, also, right now, the target that I have has to do with $50 million and over companies. I've told you about that. So... And he said, okay, so you want to be able to sort on annual revenue and your campaigns. Well, it's very interesting. I talked to our developers. We're working on that this weekend. It should be available for you next Monday.
Now, wow.
I'm trying to find their name now.
Fascinating.
We've interviewed so many people lately.
Just fascinating.
Now, let me ask a question to both of you, because none of us are under the age of 50 here, I'm assuming. It looks like we're all over 50 here.
Just be kind.
At some point, that used to be where you kind of get solidified into your ways, and you're not adaptable to change, and you're not willing to do things. And yet, here we are. We're not three kids on the air talking about the latest geeks or technology or gadgets and stuff here. We're talking about the latest things that are doing it, and in many ways, we're all either using them ourselves, or we're learning about them from others, or we're suggesting them to others. Does that show a more resilience in our generation, or does that show how quickly you have to change these days? Are you running up against resistance to change with entrenched salespeople, sales experts out there, unwilling to do something different than they did the last 20 years? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, the three of us are sitting there looking at new technology, interviewing people, and we're out multiple customers and multiple clients, and it's our job to take new technology, new ways of doing things to be more productive.
Right.
But I walked into an account a couple of years ago, And they had the worst website I've ever seen. They didn't know what SEO meant. They had no idea what eye contact was. They didn't know what YouTube was. They just had no concept. Well, now 2 years later, after using Judy Johnson at Key Marketing Group, they've got a terrific website. They've got great YouTube video. They're SEO'd. They're found. They're putting out email communications every 2 weeks to tens of thousands of people. It's over 10,000 people, where their database used to be 300. And these guys went from having no idea about any of this stuff to suddenly having really a top-notch website, being able to connect to people instantly.
They joined the revolution. They joined the revolution.
And what's happened to them? Well, they're in a marketplace that most of their competitors are down 40%. They're not down 40%. They're selling more than they've ever sold. And out of their four or five, six huge competitors across the country, they are kicking. They're kicking everybody's butt, frankly, because they're really aggressive sales-wise, marketing-wise, pricing-wise. But they have roared into this, and none of them had any idea this stuff was going on before.
And do people resist it today because it's an additional cost when sales are down? You know, are they saying, well, when it picks back up, we'll look at doing that? Or are they using the downtime to reevaluate what they've done and try and be more productive with less resources, less people?
It all depends how far down they are. If they're too far down on the funnel, they're just trying to survive.
Right.
If we get them before they get too deep into the funnel, then maybe we've got a chance.
Yeah, you got the same thing you've always had. You got climbers, campers, and quitters.
I love that analogy, by the way.
All right. You got climbers, campers, and quitters, and sometimes people are camping because they're afraid. Because they're resisting, and what happens is those campers in today's marketplace, because things are moving so quickly in today's marketplace, those campers are quickly becoming quitters, not because of their own decision, but they just have no choice. They are out of business, and the climbers are the ones who clearly have a vision for where they want to be. That every client that I have that is adopting this has a clear picture of where they want to be 3 years, 5 years from now. And they're saying that here's where I am now. This is where I want to be. What does it take to get there? And what it takes to get there in this marketplace is to get familiar with the tools for reaching people. Because, look, it's not going to be effective for your people to pick up the phone and just call. You're going to have to use something like Connect and Sell, or you're going to have to use something like doing a lot of research on social networking. I had a person call me up the other day. He wants to come to training. By the time we finished, we agreed that he'd come up next Friday and we would talk. He wrote back and said, sent me his information. We're talking about then in his second email. He said, well, I hope that because I'm from SMU, Southern Methodist in Dallas, and you're from TCU in Fort Worth, who are rival schools, I hope that won't get in the way. Now, what's he telling me? He's already bonding with me based upon what he found out on LinkedIn or Facebook or someplace like that. But that's what we got to be doing today.
Right. He found that little extra differentiator. Well, I think it's amazing that people in their 50s are being forced to adapt so much. You can't just coast on what happened so much. The business world is being forced to adapt because of the tremendous financial shock we went through in the last couple of years. And I'm excited to have people like you guys bringing me and our audience the latest techniques and technologies and thought, really. You're thought leaders in the subject. You're out there ahead of the pack, you know, leading us all. So I'm going to give you both a kudo here for being among the climbers in the group here.
Well, let me tell you another thing that I think is important is Deepak Chopra has said in four or five books that I'm looking at right now on my shelf, getting old is a state of mind. Right? It's a belief in your head. There are people who used to and still believe when you turn 65, you're done.
Yeah, right.
And they stop. All right. Now, if that's not necessarily true, if it really is a state of mind, then one can move from project to project. There is no retirement. Mm-hmm. It's simply, what are you going to do next? I mean, how are you going to be a winner, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, winner.
That's what I'm really saying.
Yeah, winner.
I'm going in a new direction. Well, what is the new direction that we're going? What's the next piece? And to me, all of this technology is just exciting. I mean, I'm frustrated because I can't get my new iPad 2 here fast enough.
Well, we've got some advantages over some of the young people out there. Somebody in the movies, I don't know, a couple of years ago, said something to the effect that, you know, I'm smarter than you are, I'm craftier than you are, and I've got more money.
All right.
You know, so if you're smarter because you've learned so much, and you're sneaky and craftier just because it's your nature, and you've got more money, and you're really aggressive, you don't let things stand in the way, such right. as new technology. And with SLMA, I find I just have to innovate about every 3 to 4 months and throw something new out there to kind of shock that audience.
Yeah, right.
And I know that we're shocking a lot of the associations that are out there and some of the other marketing groups because we're doing these new things. We started the radio program last summer.
Absolutely.
Next week, we're running our we've got an official cartoonist, and we're running our first cartoons on the show.
Incredible. And, wow, cool.
It's a great cartoon. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, hold it up a little closer.
Hold it up a little closer.
We might be able to read it here. Yeah, a little closer to us. All right, and lift it up higher so we can read the bottom. Hey, yeah, that looks good.
Where in the world did you find some of that? That could be in Forbes Magazine. That could be in any financial publication.
Stu Heineke.
Yeah.
Stu Heineke runs a company called Cartoon Link, and he used to be a marketing manager, and he's been doing cartoons for 30 years.
Wow.
Ah, nice.
Well, this cartoon, for our listeners, has got everybody sitting around a conference table, and they've got little boxes and leads laying on the table and pieces of paper, and one of them is saying, we need a better system for handling these leads. A bigger box, perhaps?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to, and Stu has really caught on to this, so we're putting a cartoon up on our site.
Uh-huh.
And it'll launch probably over the weekend. The press release will go out at 8:55 on Monday morning, saying Stu has joined the staff and as our official humorist and cartoonist. But that's what people want. We're going to have more videos because people like more video. The younger people like more video, and so do the older people.
Sure. It's a different experience,
they
right?
They want to be engaged. So humor, cartoons, the podcast, these kinds of recordings.
Yeah.
I look forward to, we might be able to even start taking this radio program and find a way, Will, to record you and put you up there while you're sitting there giving the radio program. Hmm. And eventually you might be able to also record the guest. Yep. So we're not only doing just radio, but we're actually recording these three people that'll be visible people as they listen to the show. Now, you don't think that's going to be listened to and reach out?
And it isn't just the immediate audience. It's the viral effect. You know, that word that so many people cringe over, oh, viral meeting. It's just another one of those hip phrases. But it really starts to unlock the multiplier effect of what we do on the Internet. When somebody listens to this show live, it's one thing, and we're grateful, and that's great. But when that person says to somebody the next day, gee, I wish you could have seen that cartoon. Gee, I wish you could have heard that radio show. And instead can say, hey, let me send it to you. And that person then gets it tomorrow and passes it on and a chain goes on like that. You suddenly have a multiplier effect that I don't know, again, how you calculate the value of that. And I don't even know how far that multiplier carries out or for how long. But we're seeing that it does. People are downloading your shows from the SLMA and from the Pilgrim months after they've aired.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell people that we're pushing 7,000 streams now since last August.
Yes. Well,
I knew another radio program that's been out there, and she said, we've had 10,000 streams in 2 years. And I said, that's really good. And I said, we've had 5,000 in 6 months.
Said,
And we're on at 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the evening. Now, the cartoon is going to appear on the website, and if they want a copy of it, they can click on it. The top is going to say SLMA, and then there's two sponsors who are paying to sponsor this cartoon and be able to use it in all their communications.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'll click and go over to the page on the web, and then people can download that cartoon and send it to whoever they want to, or download it as a PDF.
Which
so
they
it's
will.
It's going to come out as a JPEG. The JPEG will have our name on it, plus our two sponsors. And the first two sponsors are going to be Dan McDade, mm-hmm. the very first person we had on the radio program at Point Clear, and Ken Murray at VanillaSoft.
Brilliant. Brilliant
software
idea.
Software company. So they're going to put this cartoon up. And Ken said, my gosh, is that... He said, so I can put this on my blog, and I put it up on my TMC, and my section on TMC, and I can put this out on our website. And so we're giving them the chance to move this humor out. And I said, not only that, Dan McDade's name's going to be there, Ken, when you do it.
Yeah,
and so is ours.
Right.
So it's the multiple effect.
Yeah, and let's remember our friends over at Sandler Training are jumping in. Not only are they sponsoring the Pilgrim Show, they're also, we're having Mark Friedman come speak at Sandler Training I think a month from now. Now, why wouldn't we record that, videotape it, and take pieces of that and pop it right up there on SLMA, and as well as the Sandler site?
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a section there that people can look at videos and they can listen to the audios other than the radio program. So we're willing to put all that stuff up, and I'm integrating a lot of it into my blogs. And I'm going up on YouTube, finding interesting videos and integrating those in with stories into the blog, because storytelling and visuals always sell.
This is a storytelling medium. Yeah. Well, I don't mind running over tonight because this has been great here. So I appreciate the opportunity to get both of you on and talk about this, because I feel like we're all part of a cutting edge movement. I'm pleased to know that it's still the baby boomer or aging baby boomers that are leading the way. You know, it's not the 20-somethings that are doing all these things. It's the 50-somethings that are on the air creating these types of things. And the last thing I'll say is what we're all doing, which, again, is something that's evolving, and we're trying to evaluate what's the benefit of this, what's the net result of it, is we're creating communities. That word we always chase, that the Internet talked about and promised about. When somebody's on Will's show, they become part of his community. When people come to your SLMA and start watching this and getting engaged with it and passing it on, don't you think they've now, whether they realize it or not, made a commitment? They've joined that group somehow. They've become part of that group in a more powerful way than simply reading an ad in a newspaper or the old a way of reaching people. You're pulling them in at a different way.
Seth Godin, you know, the guy who's written all the books with the bald head and everything, he's got a great book out called Tribes.
Yep, I have it on our website,
Tribes is where it's all at, and it takes leadership to create a tribe. I know when we started SLMA, when that started and launched 2 years ago, three years ago, there were 50 consultants out there and other lead management companies and others that hit themselves in the head and said, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, right.
And now we've tied up all the URLs, and now we've got a community of 3,500 people, plus another 16,000 people a month hitting the website for this lead management community that nobody ever thought about starting.
Right.
Even though the web was out there 15 years.
Right.
It's not too late to start something new on the web.
Right.
And it's a tribe of our own.
Right.
That's right. And what Seth said about tribes and tribes, he said, we need you to do this for us. Talking about people in general, we need you, Jim. The people out in that world need you to be doing what you're doing. The people in my tribe need me to be doing what I'm doing. They that is important to them, and I think that's wonderful. Now, before we get off here, the marketing automation group that I'm using it's called Net Results.
Ah, okay, that was it. Yeah, I remember that.
Net-Results. And I'm looking at it right now. It is very slick. I talked about them now. There's the book also that I'll share with you that I read on my iPhone flying back from Philadelphia by Peter Gruber. He's he was a Sony CEO for a while for Sony Pictures. It's called Tell to Win. Tell to Win, Connect, and Tell to Win, Connect, Persuade, and Triumph with the Hidden Power of Story by Peter Gruber.
That's what it all is.
On your Kindle, download it from Amazon. It's a wonderful book about the value of stories, and he just has anecdote after anecdote about how he used stories and actually prepared the story before he went into the sales call. Not a presentation, but the story.
Incredible. Send me the link to that, and I'll put it up on the OC Talk Radio Amazon bookstore for people to find, too. We'll
okay.
make that easy.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that. Hey, guys, this is wonderful. This is wonderful.
This is great. I appreciate you inviting me in this evening, Will.
Well, let's just plan on doing it. Whenever I wind up, being lazy to not having somebody on the second half of the show, we'll do it more.
I'd love to.
Jim, I think this is the kind of thing we might want to, I hope we're going to be doing next Thursday with Jim Banks and Frank Beryl.
Yeah, they all agreed to come on the program Thursday at 5 o'clock.
Did we tell them to make sure they've got their Skype up and running?
We didn't talk about the Skype, but I said you'd be in touch because you're the leader of this tribe.
We'll tell them that they got to be on Skype and they got to have a camera so we can see what's going on.
Well, it also not only does it allow I'm proving my point here. Not only does it allow everybody to see each other and to have more of a conversation, but then somebody can be kind of the traffic cop, which I think should be Will here, and then you can kind of point to people. And otherwise, if we just have them on the phone, as we've discovered, more than two or three people, they start talking over each other, as we all just did there. So,
yeah. So, Jim,
now, does Skype allow more? How many does Skype allow? Three or four?
I don't know.
Whatever the bandwidth will hold, and that's what we're pushing. I think there's almost an unlimited number of people you can do it if you have the bandwidth to do it.
So we'll see.
We'll find out.
We'll see. All right, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, it's been wonderful. So
okay.
This is the Pilgrim on the 405 signing off.
You've been listening to the one and only Pilgrim on the 405. Pushing the boundaries, the frontiers of what's available for sales techniques and technologies and sales teams everywhere. Only on OCTalkRadio.net.